I wasn't like every other kid, you know, who dreams about being an astronaut. I was always more interested in what bark was made out of on a tree.
We have the ability to see what can be, unburdened by what has been, and then to make the possible actually happen.
Think about that.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
AM 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here. We learned last hour that there's a teacher who's been suspended out of South High School who's teaching South International High School, by the way, that if you're resisting, and you get to define what resisting is, anything is justified, and including rape or murder of innocent women and all that. And apparently even Seattle Public Schools has a bar. And so Ian Golash has been suspended to think about what he's done. And I'm sure it'll disabuse him of that nasty habit to think it's okay. And October 7th, 6 months ago, was okay. And so thankfully that chap won't be teaching your kids in West Seattle anytime soon. But I don't know, wouldn't surprise me if he's back in there already today. Zionist fascists, the Jewish delegates have been run out of a European student event. The European Parliament is voting this week, and the anti-Semitism has never been hotter. Well, I mean, that's not true. Hasn't been hotter since the end of World War II. Let's be accurate about that that way. And the Boeing whistleblower, the chap who was an engineer for years, Sam Salepour, has sent documents to the FAA, which is investigating the quality and safety of Boeing's manufacturing up there at Everett, where you're not joining the 787s together correctly, according to him. And he'll say this live in less than 69 minutes. So an hour and 9 minutes at 8:15 a.m. So we'll dip into that if anything interesting happens, but it'll be on C-SPAN. So it'll be government live and unvarnished the way you love it. MSNBC, he's just going to say what he's been saying for a couple of days now. And here's part of that, which was on your NBC last night and this morning.
It's one of Boeing's best-selling aircraft, transporting 875 million passengers on 1,100 planes worldwide over the past 12 and a half years. But today, a Boeing whistleblower will tell Congress he's concerned that the 787 Dreamliner may have a dangerous flaw.
Right now, to me, I see we have real problem in our hand.
15-year Boeing engineer Sam Salepour says the gaps between the big pieces of the fuselage are too big. And even though the fuselage pieces are fastened together, the stress could lead to fatigue failure and disaster after thousands of flights.
When the plane can break apart in altitude and drop to the ground, I think that's a safety issue.
You really think that's what...
I do, too. Planes falling to the ground.
I concur.
Yeah. He's not... I mean, I sense that English is his second language, and he's an engineer, so Odin bless him and the whole thing. But, I mean, bottom line, you're saying the potential for the plane to break apart in flight is there.
And disaster after thousands of flights.
When the plane can break apart in altitude and drop to the ground, I think that's a safety issue.
You really think that's what's at stake here?
That's exactly what's at stake here. Fatigue failure has no mercy on anybody.
But Boeing is pushing back hard, telling NBC News, we are fully confident in the 787 Dreamliner because of the comprehensive work done to ensure the quality and long-term safety of the aircraft.
Now, when you Google it, I've been on them a few times without crashing and have lived to tell the tale, and I can't find anything except, like, ground collisions. And there's been a major accident with a Boeing-made aircraft in years since the Lion Air, an airline I'd never heard of flown by pilots with low hours, had the 737 MAX 8 problem that the Ethiopia guys had, where the MCAS system decided they knew how to fly the plane better than them. They fought it, And the plane was porpoising until it finally ran out of speed, which turns out velocity is one of your important factors in flight. And those were very unfortunate accidents. And it cratered Boeing's reputation as much as Boeing sort of, you know, this is too complicated, don't you worry your pretty little head attitude about it. And I mean, I'll tell you, watching how Boeing is covered in the media is part of my job, and I think it's part of theirs too. And seeing them, you know, piddle away a stellar reputation like this, I don't know what the answer is, except that Boeing can say there has not been, or there have not been, any reports of the fatigue he's pointing out can happen anywhere on a plane at any time. And the 787 was touted as, you know, the most modern construction methods and materials and stuff like that. I've flown them just because they're the preferred aircraft for overseas flights. And as I'm on the record as stating, and I'll reiterate, at altitude, when they're at 40,000 feet, which is very, very high, most airliners are in the 30s, maybe the high 30s. It pressurizes. You don't pressurize to 10,000 feet. You pressurize. You're at 8,000 feet. It was more comfortable. I slept better, but I wasn't sitting next to me hearing me saw logs. But I slept better. But I was freaked out looking out the window and seeing the wings bend so much that you couldn't see the wingtips without craning your head down in the window. And you're on the record saying you've never flown on one. Is that correct, Greg?
I think that's true.
Do you hate Boeing? Do you hate the Pacific Northwest? Yet you live in Renton.
No, I'm one of these guys that'll just fly any commercial airline plane. I don't check the website for what year was it made. Is it Airbus? Is it Boeing? I just take their word for it. Looks safe to me.
I do go out of my way when I catch that Mucklesteel ferry, like we can't avoid on Saturday. Well, I mean, I can call a bomb threat, I guess, but that would be going a bit too far. I always go through Everett. I go through the Payne Field Highway to get to Mukilteo. Anyone can take the speedway, but only real plane fans go up to Everett, then take that long way there. I always do it just because it's spectacular, I say. And you might catch some of the Flying Heritage Museum World War II plane flying or something. But anyway, the whistleblower now 64 minutes, and he'll say what you just heard him say there, that that planes falling to the ground is bad. So that will start off our know-it-all.
I want it all, and I want it now.
Know-it-all. First thing,
I'm not sure you're clear on the record, Greg. Are you against planes flying, breaking apart and falling to the ground?
I'm against
that. From their altitudes?
Yeah. The stress could lead to fatigue failure and disaster after thousands of flights.
When the plane can break apart in altitude and drop to the ground, I think that's a safety issue.
I do too. So no doubt that's at the level that the Senate, that sitting senators will understand the issue.
That is not real.
Totally real. It's a safety issue. Hey, folks, we're falling to the ground. I've identified that as our current action item on our agenda.
But I am telling you right now.
Well, never mind dog brawls. What about humans robbing weed grows? This is a little too cartelly for me. It's a little too deliberate and well thought out. And it indicates some presence of mind and some deliberate surveillance of a target before hitting it, as they say in the Michael Mann movie Heat.
Right now, police are looking for seven suspects who hit Evergrow Northwest. While they say half of them
in Tumwater, we lay our scene,
raided that facility. The others kidnapped a security guard right out of the parking lot. Cannabis production facilities typically keep a low profile, and Evergrow Northwest in Tumwater is no different.
This is kind of hard to find even when you have the address.
It's Jacob's second day on the job patrolling this area as private security.
And this is okay, so they've got Meal Team 6 out there, but at least, you know, he's armed and he has a badge. And you only know that if you're going to rob the place because you have been putting it under surveillance. You've had people looking at it. The shift changes. What's the best time? So keep in mind, this is in lovely Tumwater. It's a production facility, and they grow weed. Sometimes they grow it in Hermiston, Oregon, illegally. Sometimes in Yakima. In this case, it's an indoor grow. And these need security because weed is cash. It's pure cash. It can be sold by the end of the day because you line up a buyer, you promise an amount, and then you go get it. And this really, I'm not going to tell America's County how to be America's County because gosh knows they don't need it. But I'm going to say, just in looking at the video, it really seems like something that requires someone who has the discipline to understand the big payoff here is no weapons seen, no confrontations. And so the kidnapping of the security guard is the weird touch that tells me that they had a mitigator. They had a plan for not bonking him on the head, not killing him, but putting him in a stolen car and driving him around and making sure no hair on his chinny chin chin was harmed.
The very same lot where another guard was kidnapped less than 2 weeks ago.
Very rare cases. I've only ever...
Sounds like a test run.
Ever heard of it one other time.
Tumwater police say seven suspects pulled into the area in two stolen cars. Three of them found the guard on duty that night inside his car, then forced him into the back seat, stealing his car and driving him south. The other four broke into Evergrow Northwest. You can see them here, stealing thousands of dollars worth of products.
And they know what they want. They want bags of bud. They're not sitting there harvesting, you know, 7-foot-tall weed plants. They know what they want. They're leaving with it because that's the money. It has different names on the bags, and it's always something to do with Kush or whatever. Or putting a bandana on your hippie dog. And
while most of the suspects are masked, one of them doesn't even bother to hide who he is. Police say they even moved onto a nearby marijuana facility, breaking a window, but were scared off by an alarm.
If you're paying attention, if people know they're being watched, or if areas are well lit, or even if there's like a camera that just has a little flashing dot, that's a big deterrent.
While Jacob has 5.5...
My recommendation is that if you got the license to do a legal weed grow, you need to put a little more money into counter surveillance and the appearance that everything is live streamed, that all the cameras work and the whole thing. Because I think this security guy is absolutely right. You appear as a soft target with a single chain link fence. That's the level of your security, and an out of shape security guy walking around with sexy kit. And you know you can lure him or deceive him or force him at gunpoint or whatever and control him, disarm him, and let him go when he doesn't have a phone and after he has not bothered anyone for half an hour and you've emptied the place of the weed. So anyway, it's sort of a new, as a watcher of the news, it was new to me. All right, thing three.
Third thing.
The Trump talking to the cameras started yesterday, and everyone talking to the cameras in reverby marble halls, or in Trump's case, out in the foyer, that happened. There are seven jurors sat as of close of business yesterday, I understand. And if you don't want to be on that jury, I can't think of an easier jury to get out of. Then, I mean, you give me the questionnaire. Would you have an opinion on Trump? If you just say yes, a very strong one, positive or negative, they don't want you on the jury.
For me, I think my Brian Suits cynicism kicked in when I was thinking about jury selection. Do you think there's a certain amount of individuals that'll want to be on that jury just because there's many. Right.
Because
exactly.
In New York, you know, there's a payday because you get out of there, and or you're texting in there, you're taking money from whatever Mike Gutman from ABC to sit there and do play-by-play as it's going on.
And everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame in this day and age. And you'll be able to give interviews for the rest of your life about what it was like to sit on that Trump trial. Maybe even get a book deal out of it. Who knows?
And that's why my inclination on this is that the even though we're all on the suffer bus on this one, this is the mistrial express coming down the rails on this. The they're already talking about Trump yesterday coming out and talking about he's been told not to relate any of the in court stuff, and he comes out right in front of the front doors of the court.
I mean, it's at the heart of the case.
All I know is anytime Jeffrey Toobin is back on TV, then if you're scraping the bottom of that barrel to have anybody on who is a lawyer, and my bar is if you're broadcasting a live Zoom call and you do what he did, it's
what did he do?
He thought he was answering a private Zoom call, clearly with a person he was not married to, and he went in his Zoom camera. He walks into the bathroom Hugh Hefner shorty robe, you know, velour shorty robe, and he comes out without the robe, facing the camera, thinking he hung up on MSNBC or CNN, whoever it was, and he's ready for that other Zoom call, and they fired him. They didn't suspend him to let him think about his miscreants.
I was just kidding. I knew what had happened, but I
didn't want to say it.
How you would describe it.
So, this is a mistrial waiting
to
happen.
Play a clip of that.
I was paying a lawyer and marked it down as a legal expense. Some accountant, I didn't know, marked it down as a legal expense. That's exactly what it was. And you've been indicted over that?
By the way, people that are polled, even Democrats who in New York, who saw this prosecutor, Alvin Bragg, run saying he would prosecute Trump. Like, that's a county issue? Really? You would do that? And he did. Because Trump looms large in New York in a way that nowhere on the West Coast can you even replicate a media personality like Trump in New York. Okay, he's been on the media skyline for 30 years or more. And now that he's being tried, everybody in this jury pool has an opinion about him. And so the best they can do is that he wrote down as a business expense the world's worst bribe to a prostitute, to a porn star, that she would shut up. And it should be a civil trial. He should be suing her, But once again, the outbreak of the reverby Trump in a marble foyer is out there, and they have seven jurors sat. And at this point, the MSNBC, CNN, the fact that they're telling you their profession means that they have somebody either in the jury pool or in there texting it. And I don't see, there's so many people offering money to jurors that are leaving, and it's so easy to find their identity that now people are going to be doxxed depending on what they said about Trump. You can tell the way they answer questions, you know, where they're going to come down on it. And there's not going to be a 12-0 jury. And this is a criminal trial. There's not going to be a 12-0 jury on whether or not that was a improper business expense or that he paid the droopy Michael Cohen to transfer money to the failed porn star, Stephanie, whatever her real name is. But it's a great sideshow. That's eight more minutes of Trump talk than the president, this apparently still Joe Biden, got. And you do find, and so when people are paying that off by watching it, I'm not particularly interested in any one pundit's take on this, but one of the best is Stephen Miller. And just say a naked leg humper. I never want someone working for me that would do what Stephen Miller is about to do in front of Anderson Cooper on CNN last night.
Let me also just say, since we're addressing the subject of style, the most stylish president and first lady in our lifetimes are Donald Trump and Melania Trump. Donald Trump's a style icon. He changed American fashion in The Apprentice. People spent the next 10 years trying to dress like Donald Trump. So if anybody deserves a puff piece on their sense of style...
And I don't know why he's talking like that, but that's him. That's him in a nutshell. He's the quintessential weasel. And if you're hearing a reverb and echo, that's him coming back in his earpiece, in his IFB.
The most stylish president and first lady in our lifetimes are Donald Trump and Melania Trump. Donald Trump's a style.
And that's why it's so disconcerting when you're on a satellite delay. But he powers through it. He doesn't care. Where are we now? Let's do some Mariners. So is this thing four? The Mariners have a highlight?
Fourth thing.
The Mariners have a highlight.
Knock with runners in scoring position. And there it is. They were 0-for-5. Here comes JP. 3-1 lead for the Mariners here in the sixth. And Mitch Haniger's second hit tonight. The hitting streak at 7.
Did they win?
2-game win streak.
No way. Get out.
It's all happening.
Get out of here.
Rodriguez has batting average above 200.
So, show meeting. Should I DM my buddy Terry Shepard and talk about naming dogs human names?
I think we could carry at least 2 segments with that.
Very fascinating guy, Special Forces combat veteran from Iraq and Afghanistan, adopts older dogs, and then the older dogs consistently die. I mean, I've admitted to him, I could not do what you do because the most human name I've ever had of a dog was Smitty. Because who doesn't like someone named Smitty? Yeah. And he was a winning dog. Everybody loves Smitty.
Likeable canine.
And that was a sad day when we put Smitty down. We had to put someone named Smitty down. That's like Buddy. And I had a dog named Buddy. And he was my come home from war happy dog. But the ex found a way to kill him before I got home.
So there's that.
Yeah. So and then broke the news to me. Like on already a bad day that we were having in Baghdad, then breaks the news to me that my dog Buddy croaked. And with a really wacky story that didn't stack up. But anyway, we'll get to that. That was that. So anyway, we'll see. Some possible interview coming up. And what's the latest out of Israel? We'll tell you that right after this. AM 770 KTTH. We're going to get a repeat of, remember that, was she the Harvard president who, when Congressperson Stefanik was saying, is anti-Semitism justified or whatever? And she kept saying, it depends on the context. Was that what the question was? I forget. You'll hear it here in a second, but they're going to do a repeat on that because talk about playing the hits. It hasn't gotten better on campus. And the Boeing whistleblower is saying that he's identified aircraft falling apart and then to the ground as a safety issue, whatever, is coming up here after the top of the hour, about 8:15 our time. But what about that Dr. Manoush Shafiq and the anti-Semitism on your campus?
Panel, they held a press conference with students from Columbia speaking to the importance of holding these colleges accountable for what they say has been widespread anti-Semitism. We certainly expect Shafiq to face similar questions as the other presidents faced back in December. As you mentioned, Harvard's president and UPenn's president then stepped down after this exchange. Watch this.
at Penn. Does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Penn's rules or code of conduct? Yes or no?
It is a context-dependent decision, Congresswoman.
So the answer is yes, that calling for the genocide of Jews violates Harvard code of conduct, correct?
Again, it depends on the context.
It does not depend on the context. The answer is yes, and this is why you should resign.
She later did. So there is that. I wanted to hear. I mean, I would have said, you fascinate me. Tell me more. Under what context is calling for the genocide of Jews? I mean, besides cosplaying Hitler, what would the context be? I mean, make them say it. But anyway, we're going to get a repeat on that. So that'll be a. So that takes care of practice Friday for tomorrow on that one. So Israel's revenge for the aerial air show of the Iranian, highly successful Iranian ballistic missile target industry, apparently, will take the place of take the form of many things. And but one of them will not be a large conventional Israel to Iran soil to soil airstrike. They will not do that. The Israelis have displayed a mastery of the internal assassination in Iran without an F-35 involved or dropping a JDAM bomb or anything. The Israelis have affected the Iranian bomb infrastructure so well that nobody applies to be a nuclear engineering PhD student anymore at Tehran University. They've deterred people from even going in that specialty. And this was a time when this was an era over the past 20 years where if you were a outstanding physicist student, undergraduate, you were influenced into joining the IRGC Science Corps, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps' science branch, because you got anything you wanted. All you had to do was be happy and help them get a nuke. But they kept bumping them off. And so you had, like, exploding moped. There was one nuclear scientist who got on a exploding moped at Tehran University, and it worked as advertised. But they were trying to affect young people by having them see death on the campus and realizing these guys all have one thing in common. If they didn't realize that, it was spelled out for them in Farsi, because Mossad has penetrated everyday life at every level in Iran. And the Iranians hate that. And one thing they really hate is the idea that there would be a more overt, open, spectacular airstrike that they could show on TV. That's not going to happen. Just a nuclear scientist is just not going to show up at work tomorrow. That's how they'll do it. And I know the Biden administration is assuming all the people that leg hump him are assuming that they're going to see some sort of, you know, nighttime live shot of any aircraft fire over Tehran. You're not, because that's not how they operate. That's not what they do. Ever since the new model of how the Israelis interdict these guys was the remote assassination of the Iranian Oppenheimer. The doctor, Fakhrizadeh, who was killed in the backseat of his security-driven Mercedes, unarmored Mercedes, killed remotely by a camera that either had artificial intelligence, facial recognition, or it was remote-operated by somebody close by. And it was zeroed perfectly because he was hit in the head. His wife wasn't hit. She was in the car. And they killed the guy with a absolute sure thing. Blow his head off, literally blow his head off. And then the Iranians made a big show of grisly, in a very grisly way, pulling him out of the Mercedes by his feet. And that it just didn't leave a nice evidence trail for you. But so anyway, that is their style. They've done it before. They did it to Saddam's nuclear scientists, and they've been doing it successfully in Iran. And the one thing they show the IRGC is that you can't protect anybody. We know where they are. We know where their vacation home is. The whole thing, this is all because of the Israeli targeted assassination of an an IRGC general in Damascus. And it's become, it's kind of like the, you know, the Al-Qaeda's with the assassination of Mohammed bin Durka Durka or whatever. Now Durka bin Mohammed Durka is the new head of Al-Qaeda. And the clock is ticking on that guy. And it does actually affect these guys. And you might think, well, who cares? They're martyrs. They want to die anyway. Well, they're not saying they don't want to because they'd be cowards, but they would like to see the sun go down, as Magnum said, and that famous or Archer said, did you watch the sun come up today or whatever? But they do that. and by the way, it's a long and effective tradition of assassinating the person who steps up and says, follow me, because it's the 81st anniversary. Today is the 81st anniversary of the assassination of Yamamoto. Today is, Greg, today. And also in World War II, were we more honorable? Is there something dishonorable about doing that? Well, no. In World War II, and by the way, FDR did give the word, yeah, whack Yamamoto. There's no official record of it, but it had to be approved by him. And he said, yeah, get the guy, get the SOB. There was actually a plot, an operation by the British Special Operations Executive to assassinate Hitler with a sniper. There really was. I mean, they had the guy picked out where they were going to insert him in Bavaria. They were going to whack Hitler near his Bavarian estate, the Berchtesgaden, when he was out walking the German Shepherd, Blondie, and Eva Braun wasn't going to be there. But they were down to where he was going to lie in wait and the whole thing. And it was called Operation Foxley. Hello.
Hello. No, I know.
Who is our shooter for Operation Foxley? It was a real thing. And there was no teeth gnashing or hand wringing about it. It was, is it dirty? Well, that's rather the point, isn't it? And I highly recommend. I haven't even seen it, but if Guy Ritchie directed it, I will be seeing The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare on Friday. I will be front row of the IMAX. It's a great book. Pick it up, but you can read it before Friday. But those are. It was the Fafos of times. It was the find outest of times. So there we go. Back in a second. AM 770 KTTH. About what this whistleblower, Salapur, is going to say. Besides being against aircraft coming apart in flight and then hitting the ground and identifying that as a safety issue, what else is he going to say? I hadn't heard this, but NBC for the first time reporting some positive news that Boeing takes safety seriously and has upped the testing. And I hadn't heard these figures.
100 planes in service, 689 have already gone. Gaps, but comprehensive work done. That's what's at stake here.
That's exactly what's at stake here. Fatigue failure has no mercy on.
He said fatigue failure.
Anybody.
But Boeing is pushing back hard, telling NBC News, we are fully confident in the 787 Dreamliner because of the comprehensive work done to ensure the quality and long-term safety of the aircraft. These claims about the structural integrity of the 787 are inaccurate.
So if it's structural integrity you're bitching about, how about a whole bunch of takeoffs and landings? That's where most of the stress comes from. So what do they do? I mean, why does Moses Lake exist if not to test airliners?
Since 2020, Boeing has been under FAA supervision as it tightens paper-thin gaps between the fuselage components, stress testing the plane through 165,000 takeoffs and landings.
That's a lot of takeoffs and landings.
More than three times a typical 787's lifespan. Of the 1,100 planes in service, 689 have already gone through various inspections. So so far, zero evidence of fatigue.
This whistleblower's concerns, while I'm sure are very sincere, I don't think matches what Boeing is saying is happening out in the fleet.
Because that sounds to me like a pretty robust testing regime. I don't know if that would be a good PR commercial, though. Our aircraft are less likely to break apart in flight and fall, and you all fall to your death because look at all the testing we did. I still maintain, because I think that lot up in Everett and you lot down there in Renton are basically good folks who are making a good product. That would be the commercial that, look, good people don't want to kill you. Hey, we don't hire Al-Qaeda in Renton.
Propaganda.
I mean, that's what I would do because they're this invaluable reputation that Boeing has is falling apart in flight and then falling to the earth. And so
Salapour admits he doesn't have full access to all of Boeing's data since he moved off the 787 project in 2022. He claims in retaliation for raising concerns internally.
Boy, I'll tell you what, there was a time in Washington, D.C. where if you had such a hearing, you'd have to contend with Warren Magnuson and Scoop Jackson, who would have the Boeing dossier. And they would say, I say here, Mr. Salapour, not a single accusation that you have made has been borne out. In fact, Boeing is second to none in testing. Just ask the eardrums and the sheep and cattle of Moses Lake, where they test these here things and all that. But we'll see. That'll be a little after top of the hour. I don't know the context of this, but Biden's telling a story about a boy. and by the way, folks, this is just plain rude. Don't do this for the honor of the majesty of the office of the President of the United States. A boy sticking up his middle finger, and Biden is in the middle of speaking, and he noticed it. That's what I got from the story.
I've never thought I'd see a sign when I'm going through a neighborhood or a rural town in the West or Senate and see big signs that have a Trump sign in the middle that says F Biden.
You saw my sign. That is hilarious.
And having a little kid standing with his middle finger.
I want to buy that kid ice cream sundae. He noted. He saw me. The president looked right at me.
Have you ever done that drive down to Portland? And there's always that big, huge banner or billboard that changes its political sloganeering.
It's right south of Chehalis.
Yeah, and it's always anti-left.
Yeah, and it's going north. You can't see it going south.
Okay,
I think. And I think it's a John Birch, like get us out of the UN, you know, kind of a guy. But yeah, it's Uncle Sam on the billboard.
That's right.
I bet you it says something about Trump right now. Like, I bet it's for him. But so I just want to hear that again. It just cracks me up.
a neighborhood or a rural town in the West or Senate and see big signs that have a Trump sign in the middle that says F Biden and having a little kid standing with his middle finger.
Now the president.
There you go, Brandon. I got to say, the outbreak of window decals that are that explicit. I mean, you know, I'm driving around with my kid. I mean, yeah. The kid's aware of that word. And in certain contexts, like FJB, you know, I don't mind if she says it.
Are you promoting public decency again?
But being forced to see it because I'm right behind your truck and you're flying an American flag, so yay for you. I'm one of those too.
Okay, would you prefer driving behind the truck that has crass language on it or the one that has the things hanging down from the exhaust pipe?
I would rather be behind things hanging down.
Okay.
Yeah, so or the one that says F. Joe Biden.
But he also, at a separate stop here in Scranton, talked about the ways in which Donald Trump has coarsened our...
But he's blue-collar Joe. I mean, really.
...politics. I want to play part of that comment from yesterday.
I've never thought I'd see a sign when I'm going through a neighborhood or a rural town in the West or Senate and see big signs.
What is he out us? I mean, just say Yelm. There, I said it. So why is he outing the West? Does this not happen in the East Coast?
...that is have a Trump sign in the middle that says F Biden.
Ow!
And having a little kid standing with his middle finger.
Ow!
Now, all right, shut up, Brandon. So anyway, there we go. So he's noticing. He's noticing you. But I mean, I will say that I don't think Trump is the one who's coarsening it. I would say it's
you
social
sure
media.
About that?
He didn't swear. I've never heard him swear.
No, never. Trump never swears, especially not on the campaign trail.
I have it on good authority from someone who's a contestant on The Apprentice, who founded his social media empire, Andy Lutinsky. That he throws down like no one's business.
You sure about that?
I mean, his grandpa owned a whorehouse where T-Mobile is now, in what we would call Soto these days. But yeah, it was a coarse household. So that happened. But just that I don't like being, I don't need the vinyl sticker staring at me at a stoplight. And also, never mind me, there's lots of people that are decent people that are might be behind you. And I saw this one guy had the most objectionable thing I've ever seen on the back of a pickup window. And I can't even imply what he said, but it was not even for impolite society, I should say. I would hand that kid a 5 if he's just standing there. How long you been out here, kid? And he's not dressed as a Statue of Liberty because he's advertising for a tax preparer. Just standing there with a finger up. All right, we'll be back in just a second. And the Boeing whistleblower, you've heard pretty much what he's going to say. And now we've heard from Boeing that did respond to NBC, I guess, today. And they're going to tout their vigorous flight test and the safety record of the 787. And so this one engineer, and this is what I would do, is I would. He calls himself a whistleblower, and then he said that he was let go because he was a whistleblower. I deny that completely and say that's, you know, think of the stakes. If not for the military paycheck, Boeing would be a minor commercial aviation company that went out of business 40 years ago. But luckily, they're not, and that's what floats the commercial division. And so I would say, I assure you, the quality control that we put into the commercial division is even greater on the military side and all that. And no one's ever had a door plug fly out of an F-18. And besides, that was a McDonnell plane. We bought them. And so we'll get to all that next hour, an update on local news and stuff, and a checking of your texting here at 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. We'll check all that in just a second, and the Seattle teacher has a lot more free time on him. He's been on his hands after being suspended for saying that any depredation, including the rape and murder of innocent, unarmed women on October 7th, was justified because it's resistance against an occupier, and that's who's teaching your kids, just not today, at South High School. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH.